got in trouble, you got your name on the board. If you got in trouble again, you got a check mark. One more check mark and you were sent to the principal. Well, the first half of the year, he got his name and one check mark every week. They restarted the next week. If you did not get in trouble, you could go ahead and buy a drink during the recess. Whenever he got to the middle of the year, my sister had had enough, and she told him, she said, I don't care what the school says. If you get your name on the board, you're going to get in trouble with me. Come Friday, and he came in there, and he told her, he said, Mom, I got to have 50 cents. She said, for what? He said, I get to buy me something at recess today. And she's bragging on him, you know, so happy he didn't get in trouble that week. That afternoon, I was with her to pick him up off the school bus, and he come off that school bus, first grader, strutted down that walkway and walked up there to his mom, and he said, hold out your hand. And she held out her hand. He said, saved you 50 cents today. Now, you know, he put a lot of thought into how to sell his message in a way that would best benefit him. Well, that's kind of where we are today. We know that resistance is real. We know that there is herbicide resistance. And we know that herbicide resistance is not a new discovery. It's not a single crop issue. We know that it's not a single state issue. It's something that's affecting a very broad range, and it's not a single herbicide issue. And a lot of times in the meetings and places that we go to now, there's a lot that are discussing glyphosate resistance management. And that's understandable since there's been such a wide adoption of the Roundup Ready technology and all. But we want to make sure that we get the message out that it's not just one product, that there's also ALS inhibitor resistance issues. And there's multiple different products out there that we have resistance problems. So from the National Cotton Council standpoint, what we're trying to do is support educational efforts that are to enhance herbicide resistance awareness and appropriate management. And we have addressed that in several ways through the Beltwide Cotton Conferences in the past couple of years. There have been several presentations that have tried to get the message out on how to address resistance management. There have been cooperative efforts with Cotton Incorporated in which, if you look on the National Cotton Council webpage, there is actually some management guidelines through a publication that was put together. And there is also a weed module on the National Cotton Council webpage that is a very good interactive program that will help people realize how to look for the resistance issues. And that weed resistance module is easy to access on the web page. Whenever you go to the home page, the first page, there will be this small little box there that says weed module. And then that module will take you into the web site to give you these different learning sections. And there's four different sections in it. Now, in there, we try to keep people aware that there is a history, that this is not something new. It has been going on for quite some time, that there have been several plants reported in previous times before Roundup resistance was showing up. It goes on through to try to show that there are multiple weeds throughout the cotton belt that have ALS inhibitor resistance, the dinitroanilines, different ones, even some organoarsenicals, so that there's multiple modes of actions that have resistance issues. And we need to understand those modes of action so that we know how to rotate and how to protect from resistance issues. As you said earlier, we have changed our cultural practices a lot to where there's not a lot of tillage and plowing nowadays. And so there may be some places where that farmers who are faced with this issue, they're having to go back to some old methods that may require trying to get some equipment that they thought they were no longer going to need. There are a lot of information on the weed module that tells people exactly what some of the different practices are, how to rotate your herbicides, how to rotate crops, and different tillage practices as well to make sure that you're looking for these escape spots and different things. And it's really an issue that we understand that we need to get people to be aware of and really start addressing it, because there are some discussions going on at different levels throughout the regulatory the regulatory sites on how do we need to address glyphosate resistance. And there has been a study that has been shown that 66% of the growers in Indiana indicated low to moderate concern about glyphosate resistance. And only 38% recognized the role of the mode of actions and how to prevent, to delay resistance. Now, fortunately, cotton looked a lot better in this survey, that our producers were more aware. 90% of the Mississippi and North Carolina cotton growers were aware of the resistance issue. But in that study, it also showed that 30% are using only glyphosate. And it comes back down to that idea, well, it's not on my farm yet. And we understand that, but we still believe that the way to address it is through research and education, and not trying to implement regulatory issues that cause some different confusion. And there was a glyphosate stewardship program that several went to, and at that program they were saying, well, some different ways that we might could handle resistance management is to have a surcharge to fund stewardship programs, or we could add more information to labels. And you and I both know how thick labels are now, and how difficult it is to read and find your information on a label. They also were talking about, well, what if we had it to where the industry would not guarantee the product unless there was a stewardship plan already in place? And we recognize the difficulties that would cause for the industry and the producer, how to resolve different issues like that. They had discussions on, well, what if we limit the traits in markets that reach a certain threshold? And anytime you start shutting some people out on a product, we understand the difficulties that would cause. There was even some discussions at that meeting on, well, what if we go ahead and have legislative mandates to tell them exactly how they are going to use these products? And we understand that on the farm, it's important for them to manage their own operation and have the flexibilities that best suit their operation. How they handle their herbicides may give them the advantage to stay in business, and we need to allow them to have that value of that independent farm management. We understand, too, that whenever you try to come up with one rule that's trying to regulate something, that it doesn't fit all areas, doesn't fit all regions. So it really creates some problems whenever we address some of these issues. So, you know, one of the things that I've tried to do with some of the different producers and all is just have a little bit of a discussion to them and let them know that these learning modules are out there and there's other material that's present. But you got to get them aware and interested and learning the information and finding out some more detail for themselves, so you can ask them questions like, how many different modes of action do you use on your farm, and do you use any residual herbicides anymore? How many fields do you cultivate during the growing season for weed escapes? And start seeing these none, you know. Then you ask them, well, how close to your farm must a resistant plant be found before you're concerned enough to change the practices on your farm to make sure it doesn't happen to you? Or a simple question like, how many weed spots did you see in your field whenever you were harvesting this year? And how many of those spots does it take to make a field? And it starts bringing it home to where that we see how quick it can develop, and that there may be something going on the farm we hadn't really realized yet. We know that we need to practice stewardship to preserve the uses. We don't want to lose this major herbicide, but if we lose it, what changes is it going to cost us? what kind of labor and equipment, what alternative chemistries do we have anymore? So it's basically trying to get the idea out that the race has started. It's on. We know that there is resistance. It's not an issue of debating whether or not there is resistance. We know there is. So we've got to start getting the word out and getting people to start planning and understanding how to manage for resistance.